Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the New England Patriots drop to 10-2. The final score in Houston, Texans 28, Patriots 22.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think we're all trying to do, you know, it's a good job out there.
Dale Arnold.
Floating like a butterfly, getting ready to sting like AB.
Rich Key.
Pastrnak ahead, the drive scores! 25 for Pastrnak!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, boy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I figure hour number one, we'll break down David Pastrnak's scoring prowess.
He looks good, don't you think?
He's got a five-goal lead.
75 goals.
There's a possibility. Hour number two, we'll break down Tuukka Rask's continuation of his playoff run last year.
Jason Tatum had a good game. That could be hour
number three. We'll do some Jason Tatum
30
stuff.
30 points against the Knicks.
Hour number four, we'll maybe break down the offseason for the Red Sox and what needs to be
done here. Busy for them,
So I think we've got all four hours plotted out here, because if we do that, we can somehow keep Wiggy from spending 4 hours whining about Antonio Brown.
You know what? I'd much rather do that.
I'd much rather do that. Get out of here. You're kidding.
It helps me with my good, hot health because...
Wiggy, let's just get this out of the way, okay, and get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Antonio Brown hit send this morning on his Instagram story, any hope you may have had about his return here disappeared.
I still think
give it up,
work
Wiggy.
It out. I'm not because
you still think it's going to work out.
That's
a good idea.
It's a repost or whatever.
So what happened, for people who missed it on Instagram, he was just adding to his story and he took somebody else's post.
Somebody else's words,
and
not
it,
his.
And it pointed
but
out.
He posted it.
He did post it. Yes, he posted it, but it was somebody else's words, I guess. And that person tagged Antonio Brown. It must have been how he saw it.
Right.
And then he posted it. And it was.
Careful.
Not just a. Yes, it was something with Robert Kraft down at the spa. And it was something from one of, I think it was the Vanity Fair article. It was a very specific detail that we can't even really share on the radio.
Right.
And it was sort of buried within a post that was like, hey, the Pats need AB, and like they, if you want to win a Super Bowl, sign AB, and like all that stuff's fine. But then in the middle was something that I think the Patriots would be, or Robert Kraft specifically,
towards
would be sensitive to. Yeah, I don't think he'd want that out there necessarily. And for Antonio Brown, man, he apologized to him once. Remember we were talking about the apology like
and
a week
today
ago.
Today he took it all back.
Yeah, it seems like it's not going to happen.
If you believe that that's what the like a repost means, or if he's...
What I know is that he put it out there, Wiggy.
We don't need to dissect the repost. I would love him on the team. You would love him on the team. Tom Brady would love him on the team. He's not going to be on the team. The guys they have right now, is their offense...
This is it.
Is their offense going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl with this group?
Not the way it looks.
Okay,
no.
And by the way, part of the
problem is the quarterback.
Well, I wouldn't put much.
Part of.
I mean, I would put a little bit on him, but not a lot. And I go back to this.
Wait a minute. I know how great he is, and we all love him. But you can't tell me you've watched him this year and haven't seen a slip in his play.
He's worse this year, but he also has worse players around him, which is fine. But
I'm not blaming him for everything.
I didn't say that there wasn't a small percentage of blame. You know, we throw around the blame pie, right?
Blame pies.
We love blame.
Well, let's just talk about the offensive game blame pie.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
about.
Let's
play the game. Just the offense. So you've got quarterback.
Yep.
You've got receivers.
Yep.
You've got offensive line.
Yep.
And you've got running backs. Okay?
Tight ends part of the receiver group?
Yes. Okay. Tight ends are part of the receiver.
So they're not a part of either group. They're
are we throwing coaching in there as well?
If you want. Sure. Okay. So now we got five parts to the Blaine pie.
Blaine pie.
So give me your percentages for those five things. So
we have mine a la mode.
So we have five parts. Okay.
Do you have any a la mode?
Everything a la mode. Turkey a la mode. Stomach a la mode.
Cranberries a la mode.
Yeah. All right. So we have five parts. So I would say... Oh, man. I would say 50% receivers, 45% O-line. The other...
You only got 5% left. You got three other options, three other parts.
1.5% yes. I'll go with.
So I would say then what do I have left? I have running backs, 2%. What's the other thing I have back? Coaches, 2%. And Brady, 1%.
1% on Tom Brady.
Yeah, because it's the...
Wait, I love him too, but you've got... Because
here's my problem. It's the weapons around him, man. He's got nobody around him. Okay. Nobody.
I would also think it's fair that we, and this is what's going to happen as just a fan base or people who cover the team, we're going to pay more attention to the Patriots than any of the 31 other teams, right? Mm-hmm. Just how it is. So... When you hear all the excuses for Tom Brady, they get into specifics about offensive line and weapons, and it's like the 31 other quarterbacks all have like a stone wall in front of them.
Sterling offensive line.
And they all
lines.
Have elite weapons, and it's like, no. Some of them are better than others.
Right.
But the Patriots, I'll admit, this offensive line has hung them out to dry a bunch of times.
And what about the receiving core?
The receiving core is not great.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right
now? Best quarterback?
Best, I would say, passing quarterback in the NFL.
Mahomes or Wilson?
Okay, if you put Mahomes or Wilson in that behind that line and with those receivers, you're getting the same results.
I think if you put Mahomes or Wilson on the Patriots,
you're getting the same results.
You might still be 10-2,
but you're getting the same results out of your offense.
Better. No, I bet it looks better.
No, it doesn't.
Well, just because, and this isn't Brady's fault, but I think some of those plays. Mahomes or Wilson can kind of boot out when Newhouse whiffs on a block, they can run away.
So
they
may be able to pick up an extra 20 or 30 yards running the football because that's what you're really getting.
No, not necessarily. You could also keep plays alive, right? I mean, we saw Watson last night. John Simon had him wrapped up. He was dead. Brady's getting sacked there, and guess what?
Most quarterbacks, he
gets out of it, and it's second
We also ten. Saw Brady getting wrapped up when Cannon basically said, hey, go have a potty at him, and he gets out of that. He keeps plays alive.
But Brady's not playing at like a top three level.
I said physically he hasn't lost anything.
Yes, he has.
I don't think he's as sharp.
What has he lost physically?
If you count this as physically, his decision making is not what it used to be. He is not throwing the ball accurately.
But that's becomes
he's been inaccurate throwing the ball all year.
That becomes there's no separation and he's back there basically running for his life. So when I say physically, the arm strength's still there. You're talking about the mental part of his thought process is still there. Those are the physical elements of Tom Brady that I don't think has diminished. I think at times. He's made a couple bad decisions. The Buffalo interception was a bad decision. We've seen him make those decisions at times.
He had a couple last night. He had one that he lucked out on because a penalty took it away.
Oh, yeah, that was
just a
terrible.
Horrible, awful throw.
Yeah, it seems like he's had more of those.
Right, but
this
then
year.
You also got to factor in where he's forcing a lot of throws because he realized he has to do something. There are times where you have to – sometimes you put yourself in a bad position – when you know the guys around you are not very good, so you start to force things in there knowing that we got to get this thing rolling. They're doubling and tripling Julian Edelman. If it's not for Julian Edelman...
Oh, my God, without Edelman, you're not scoring. Period.
Right. Like you might not even get...
I don't know. You've got Matt Lacoste.
And he's the worst. You might not even pick up a first down. Without Edelman, you might truly not pick up a first down.
They went 46 targets, 23 of them to Edelman and White. Right. And really what happened, it would have been even more, but Brady kind of tried out some of the guys earlier on in the game and said, see you later.
Right. I don't blame that on his physical performance. I blame that on
the receivers have let him down. But again, you go back to 2013, 2006, he played with some trash receivers those years. And I never felt like the offense
was missing.
Right? I thought they were going to be able to score. Like, it wasn't
he's had
pretty...
worse receivers groups than this.
Because you have Edelman. I know we're like, oh, well, without Edelman. No, you have him, though. See, I know he's hurt, but he's still one of the 10 best receivers in the
league. Right, you have Edelman, but that's all you have.
James White's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, but I think the running back.
Thank God they took the ankle bracelets off James White last night.
Right, but I also think that the running back position from the backfield, he definitely gives you something, right?
Well, it's been an important part of the offense for 20 years. You know, they've had different guys play that role. Whether it's J.R. Redmond, Kevin Falk, Shane Vereen, White, that's an important piece. So it's not nothing. I mean, they targeted him 11 times.
I didn't say it was nothing. I just think that when you look at, because the running back position, those guys, it's harder for those guys to create on third and eight. Third and nine.
I understand.
You know what I mean? It's one thing if it's, you know, third and two or third, you know, third and short, or if it's a first down, you can catch them on a screen or you can put them out wide. But it's very difficult for those guys to create opportunities when it's third and six, when you need to get open, or you're down in the red zone and you maybe need some players to make some plays. And that's
if Edelman and White, if it's somebody else that you have to throw to, who do you have the most confidence in? Exactly. That's the exercise.
Seems to have given up on Philip Dorsett, so I will.
I don't know what happened there. I feel like he was sort of last year, he had his moments, again, pre-Josh Gordon and then post-Josh Gordon. While Gordon was here, he kind of disappeared, but when he was asked to come up with plays, he did. Nothing special, but he could catch the ball. He could even score some touchdowns for you. And now that seems like that's a thing of the past. I don't know how much. Is Mohamed Sanu hurt? Or is he just even worse than I thought he was?
See, everybody goes back to 06, but the thing that people forget about 06, and this is where I think a lot of people go, oh, it's 06, is this offense is bad. The thing that he had in 06, Matt Light, Logan Mankins, Copen, Steve Nail, and Kazier,
yeah.
So he had a stable,
a better offensive line,
right? So he's had a better offensive line. Now, not only in 2019 is the offensive line in shambles, your wide receiving core, you get nothing out of Edelman. I mean, the only thing you get is Edelman. I'm sorry about that. Edelman is the only guy, and then after that, you get nothing else from anybody.
Here's an interesting little breakdown, courtesy of Rich Hill, Pat's Pulpit. This is scoring rate once they cross midfield.
Okay.
So, you know, when Tom Brady in the past has made his hay, 2015, they scored 75% of the time they crossed midfield. 2016, 75%.
This is just scoring, right? Field goals included?
Including
just points.
Both.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
Yep.
2017, 78% of the time they crossed midfield, they scored points. Last year, it's down to 67%. This year, it's down to 59%.
Wow.
Now, think about those numbers for a minute. The last 5 years, 75, 75, 78,
wow.
67, 59. And the touchdown percentage this year when they cross midfield is 36%.
Yeah, not good enough. And one of the stats they showed last night, and I mean, I guess we should realize it because we're watching every single game, but when you compare it to the rest of the league, what are they, third in punts? I mean, you think about teams that would lead the league in punts, you would probably think, oh, I don't know, there's a team that just won their first game yesterday. There's a bunch of 2 and 3 win teams. Wouldn't they lead the league in punts? I think Chicago's got the most punts. And then the Patriots are there third. I know their punter's good, but you don't want to see him all the time. And I know, and he's just been getting a ton of work. Normally, there's been seasons where, you know, being the Patriots punter is the best job in the business. You go out there once a game, and, you know, you kick the ball, and you hold some field goals. That's about it. But Bailey's been getting a workout.
And the reason why is, when you get into the red zone, or you get into that area there of the 20 are in, the 30 are in, the fringe is what they call it, you get into the scoring zone, right? Oh, okay, and let's talk about the thing that we've always talked about with this Patriots team was their ability to get into the scoring zone and score touchdowns. And then you'd always go, that's why they beat every other team, because when the Patriots defense might not be good between the 20s, but when you get in the red zone, it tightens up and it makes things difficult. Now with this team, they can't score touchdowns. They can't score touchdowns, so when they get in that scoring zone,
they're not scoring field goals either, because your field goal kicker, the ninth one you've had apparently, is suddenly making you wistfully missing Steven Gostkowski, isn't
Can I ask, though, a question here? Because I think if this happened to any other team, we would call out the whole coaching staff and say how stupid they are and question what's going on. You have your fourth kicker, a guy who hasn't kicked all season, kicked only a handful of games last year. He was available for a reason. He had a decent enough career, but he was available for a reason. You bring him in. Mm-hmm. He kicks like a 23-yard field goal. That's fine. You score a touchdown, and you're saying, should we go for two? Yeah, let's think about going for two. Oh, yeah, we're not going to go for two. Let's back it up five more yards.
It wouldn't matter. I'm not a kicker.
No, I'm not a kicker. Would you rather kick from 32 or 37? Probably 32. Do I need to answer that? Probably 32. I don't know. He might have made it. But why would you do that? Why on earth did they do that? Okay.
I don't know
there
why.
There is no reason. No,
I don't know why.
No idea.
I thought they should have just went for two there.
So you just do it. I would have gone. I would have kicked the
they
point.
Generally speaking, don't get vapor locked by decision making on that staff.
It seemed like they just
panicked. Go. You know, do this.
It almost seemed
like
summed
up the game for me, because that was a situation where I believe it was late third quarter, right? And I'm always a proponent of just take the points until the fourth quarter and then do the math and figure out if you need to go for two. Because part of it is, if you kick the extra point there, you're down 11.
It was 21-9 at that point.
So you kick the extra point and it's 21-10. And then if you hold the Texans to a field goal the next time, now you're down 14. Whereas if you miss the two-point conversion, now you're down 15, right? And now you're chasing points again. I would just take the points, but if you're going to line it up for two, go for two then.
Well,
and then they're going to go for a longer extra point, and then he misses it. You're like, what the hell was that?
Well, post-game, because he was in a sharing mood.
He was great.
Bill, I was driving home last night listening to him. So post-game, he just gave it all up on what happened on that play.
No. Nope. Didn't have a good play.
Yeah, I guess not. Or a good plan.
Was it a miscommunication? No.
No.
Just didn't have a good play.
Or I think they didn't have a plan.
See, I think initially they wanted to go for two. They lined up, didn't like the look, weren't going to waste the timeout because they know they were going to need that timeout later on in the game. So they weren't going to. Now, this is what it seems like just from watching it. Okay, let's see if we can go. We have this two-point play that we have. If we get the look, let's run it. If we don't get the look, we'll take the delay of game and kick the extra point.
Yeah,
and
I think ultimately, I guess. Isn't that getting a little cute, though? Like, at that point, shouldn't you know, like, either we got a two-point play and we're going to run it?
No, not really, because in the thought process of the game, if you come out with a two-point play that you know works against this look.
They had to have. But if I have all more, of that stuff should have been percolating in their heads on their way to the end zone.
Well, they probably had that in their heads. If we're going to line up for the two-point conversion. If we get this look, we're going to go for it. If we don't get this look, we're going to take the penalty and kick the extra point.
But based on the way the game was going, at some point you were going to have to go for two. And so I was thinking, well, maybe they're planning ahead a little bit. But it's your fourth kicker. It's one thing if you have Gostkowski in his prime
By the way, Gostkowski out of his prime was better than anybody else you've had.
I like Nick Folk better than what Gostkowski was this year. Gostkowski was horrible this
year,
Dale. You're making it sound like Gostkowski was good.
About it, right? Did you really – now, I understand he's off the street and this, that, and the other. But did you really think Cobra Kai was going to miss that?
Yeah, I thought there was a chance. Of course. Of course there was. Yes.
What was it, a 37-yard field goal? You thought
why make it more difficult for yourself?
I understand.
That was all you're doing. It wasn't like a guy jumped off sides and you're like, oh, you idiot, what are you doing? Like, no, that was all coaching.
No, but you're asking the question why. And I think the coaches said, hey, listen, we got a two-point play that we're going to run.
But that's just too cute. I feel like if that was the...
Yeah, but if they run the play and it doesn't work, then you go, why didn't they just kick the extra point?
But if another coach did that, I feel like you'd be saying,
you're
an idiot, what are you doing?
You'd question another coach.
You would have to in this situation. That made
no sense.
How
about the fourth and inches call? Let's throw it over here, and maybe he'll catch it, maybe he won't. Oh, he didn't? Oh, well, let's give the ball back.
Of course he's not going to.
Yeah, but that was a good call. The play design was perfect. The Brady put a good ball on him. You're talking about the drop that Sanu had. Yeah, I mean, that's not the coach's fault. You design a you
fourth
call,
and inches.
Yeah, but
the best sneaking quarterback I've ever seen.
But, if they have everybody up there, they had everybody at the line of scrimmage. You call a perfect play, and the guy drops it. You can't go, what are you doing there? That's a good play call. Now, if it's fourth and inches and you run a toss and he gets tackled for 4 yards on behind the line of scrimmage, you might go, damn, why are you running a toss here? But you dialed up the right play on that fourth and inches. Sanu dropped the football. When you look at this Patriots team, it goes back to one thing and one thing only. Besides Julian Edelman, they have nobody And I mean nobody.
Well, James White.
James White. But he's I told you, he's different because of where he runs his pass routes from. Generally, it's most of the time it's out of the backfield, right? So you have to have the right situation. So 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, they have nobody that can create separation.
No, they don't.
And that is the problem with this team. When you get in the red zone, there was one time they were in the red zone, the offensive line did a tremendous job, and Brady's sitting back there like,
everybody's covered.
Somebody please get open.
Covered. We were talking yesterday on NFL Sunday about, you know, what do you look at for in a really good receiver? Because we're talking about, you know, is DeAndre Hopkins the best receiver in the league? And I go back to what Belichick was saying during the week. It was as simple as, what makes a great receiver? A guy who can get open and catch the ball.
Yeah.
Funny, that's all you need.
Get open and catch the ball.
Free AB.
That's the guy who can get open and catch the ball. The Patriots don't seem to have anybody that could do both. Maybe there's some guys that can catch, but they can't get open. Guys that might be able to get open, but then they can't catch.
But Jacoby Myers can catch the football. He does a good job of catching the football. Problem is,
Is he on the same page with Tom?
He's never on the same page, and he cannot create any separation whatsoever. So Brady has, every time he throws him the football, he's got to be wide open or he's got to drop it in on a dime.
Right.
And that's kind of ultimately but Jacoby Myers is your fourth guy. He should be your fourth guy on a team.
Right.
Forget about N'Keal Harry.
This
is a red shirt. Yeah. What are they, four games in college football? How many games does he play?
By the way, according to Ian Rappaport, center Ted Karras believed to have suffered an MCL sprain last night, source said. He'll have an MRI today, but at first glance, the hope is that it's something he can return from.
Mm. Now, but the Ferentz kid wasn't bad, though.
He didn't return last night.
No, Ferentz seemed fine.
He wasn't bad. Their issue, when you look at this, their issue...
Tackles.
And I would...
Marshall's done a good job.
Well, that's...
And I would say this.
Right.
I would say this. Watching Isaiah win, there's a couple plays that he's given up. Right? There's a couple given.
Yeah. No,
but
overall,
I would say overall he's been fine.
Cannon, I know he's been dealing with the flu or whatever. I mean, it looks like he's still had it.
Cannon reverted back to, what was
old
that?
Old school Cannon. Yeah, like 4 years ago Cannon.
Now it's become, do we put Cannon in there or do we put Newhouse or do we just put a road cone there?
Dick Cone. Hopefully they trip over it.
Right. But that's what the right they highlighted yesterday during the game.
Yeah.
He just ran right by him. I mean, and Brady is, he can't even set his feet, and he's already having a, there was one time where he ducked out of it.
Then maybe stop putting him over center. Put him in the shotgun, because you're right, the offensive line stinks. We see it. He's not the most mobile guy on the planet anyway. Give him that extra second or
two. But the one time he was in shotgun, and he was able to just get out of it. You remember?
Yeah.
He kind of ducks his shoulder, and he gets out of it, and he ultimately, you know, extends the play. And I think he completed a pass downfield. But their problem is their tackles and their inability to create separation. I don't care how good your quarterback. If that's Patrick Mahomes back there and he can't, your receivers can't create separation, it don't matter.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I was listening to the Greg Hill Show on my way into work today. It sounds as though Patriot Nation has completely pushed the panic button and they are jumping off the bandwagon. We'll see what the reaction is during our little portion of the proceedings here. OMF this afternoon, we'll have the ever-effervescent Bill Belichick on at about 5:30 today.
Should be a good one.
We'll replay his post-game press conference today. It won't take long.
No, it won't.
There were not a lot of words tossed around there.
Not a lot of answers either.
No, a lot of that either. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy on a Patriots Monday.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Good thing we got here in time.
On WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's a Patriots Monday. Wiggy is in the house. I just want to play one cut real quick here. We'll have our Tom Brady midday replay later. But there was a cut this morning where they were asking Tom specifically about, is Patrick Mahomes the best young quarterback you've seen in the last 10 years? And he made a joke about, is this one of those ranking questions?
Right.
But then he expanded a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs and their offense. And listen to his answer here.
Pretty spectacular. I think very highly him and his skill set. And he's a very good player. And the reality is they have a very good team and a very good offense. They have very dynamic receivers. One of the best groups in the league. They got one of the best tight ends in the league. They have some great running backs. And Patrick distributes the ball to all of them. And, it makes it very hard to defend when, you know, you have a lot of players that you can get the ball to. And, it's a big challenge for our defense. And offensively, we're going to have to play a great game and going to have to, take advantage of our scoring opportunities and keep from turning the ball over and see if we can go out there and beat a very good team at home.
Didn't that sound a little wistful?
That one stuck out to me too.
That sounded like a guy who was describing what he used to have.
Right. He's like, look at the weapons they have. And by no means is he taking anything away from Mahomes.
No.
He was saying he's great.
He's terrific.
But he's got great players around him.
Maybe the best tight end in the
best
game.
Best tight end in the game.
All the things that
he's not lying,
used to
though.
Have.
He's telling the truth.
No, I didn't say he's lying.
Of course he's not.
That's what he's. But I think that's the reality of it.
But I think it's pretty telling, though, when you're asking one quarterback to talk about another quarterback, and in the second sentence, he's already talking about who he gets to throw to.
Yeah, but that's what you do for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You start to say, look at the play.
But if I was like, how good is Aaron Rodgers? I don't think he would go and start talking about how good
he would say
probably, Scandling is.
No, but he might go. He would probably say, listen, he's got a great receiver.
No, I doubt he would.
Devontae Adams.
I really doubt that he would.
You don't think so? I think he would. I think that's what you do as a player when you're giving an. You would do the same thing with Drew Brees and the way that Michael Thomas is playing. If somebody has a.
But what if it was a year in which you also had. Guys, like an 07. Now, we could dig this up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like an 07, when he's throwing to Moss and Welker and Stallworth, when he's asked about Peyton Manning, do you think he would say, Peyton Manning's great, and look at Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, or would he just say, yeah, Peyton Manning's great.
Yeah.
And he's a great quarterback, he make all the throws, like that kind of thing. I think he's pointing specifically out how good his receivers are because he doesn't have those guys. He doesn't.
Yeah, we know that he doesn't have it.
I know, but don't you think he's only pointing it out because he doesn't?
Well, I don't know if he's necessarily only point. I think he's pointing out because he doesn't have it, but he's also pointing it out because it's true. So I think there might be a combination of both there when you look at it. But when you look at to go back and look at Brady's performance, and that's all we'll talk about. We'll talk about from here till the end of the season.
But they also have a rookie wide receiver that they actually throw.
Yeah, but
to.
They also they have. Like. But I think the point that you're missing right is. Jacoby Myers, if he's your fourth option, wouldn't you be saying he's having a pretty good rookie year? If you had Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, you know, some of these other players, you would say, okay, he's having a pretty good year.
Maybe.
I mean, for
a couple of games. I mean, he is their fourth receiver even still. So what do you mean? So but why wouldn't I?
But in the role he's in, he's having to play there basically their second receiver.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Why because is he their second receiver?
Because that's
don't you have Edelman and you have Sanu and
but
you
those
have
guys,
Harry and Dorsett?
But those guys are not Harry, Sanu, and Dorsett. Those guys.
Well, I know two were out last week, but I'm just saying, like, overall.
Well, overall, we're starting to realize that those guys are not number one receivers or not 1B or even
twos. I could have told you that when they got Sanu. Everybody was telling me how good he was. I was like, I don't think so.
And we knew that Dorsett is probably, what, your fourth best receiver, right? And we know that N'Keal Harry just basically got back a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you have an offense that has one guy, and that's Julian Edelman. And then you have a bunch of four receivers playing next to him that are supposed to be playing as ones and twos.
The last time Tom Brady was as ineffective as he's been this year was 2013, where his quarterback rating of 87.3 was 17th best in the NFL. I was just looking at the numbers. He had Julian Edelman, who led the way with 105 catches.
Yep. Right.
Danny Amendola had 54 that year. And then the next group of receivers, I'm not talking about running backs, receivers here. You had Gronk had 39. That's great. Aaron Dobson had 37. Kenbrell Tompkins had 32.
Yep. They're rookie. They're forced into it. They had to.
Right.
They had to. And
yeah.
This year, as we see here this morning, Tom Brady's quarterback rating of 88.2 is 21st in the National Football
League. And they pointed out last night, they were going through it, and there were, you know, Deshaun Watson's quarterback rating over 100 on the season. They said the league average is about 90. Didn't change. And then when they put up the Tom Brady graphic, you know, Al and Collinsworth are both like, actually a little bit below league average, right? Like, not something that you would normally see. And again, we don't go through every single quarterback around the league and say, well, who's his number two option? And what's his left guard doing? And what's all this doing? There's plenty of offensive lines better. There are plenty of skill position better. But there are also teams that don't have the Julian Edelman or don't have what we're led to believe is this great offensive coordinator or don't have all these other things in place or a great defense
score. But these teams, those teams that you talk about are not good. Any good team that you talk about has players where you go, whoa, they got some good players over there. They, you know, we don't really know about the offensive line.
How many really good players do you think Aaron Rodgers has this year?
I think Devontae Adams is really
and
good.
And how many games has he missed?
He's
missed
a few
games.
Right,
and he's
there.
Missed most of the games, hasn't he?
Right. He's missed a few games. The wide receiver, that other kid that they have there, he's not a bad player. What the hell is
exactly.
No,
but that's sort of the point.
I don't know his first name, or the Wilson kid. I believe his last name's Wilson. He's not a bad player. I would rather have, guess what? I would rather have.
There's no Wilson.
There's not a single person.
No, on Green Bay. What's the guy?
Alan Lizard.
Marquez
Geronimo. Isn't it Geronimo's first name?
Oh, Geronimo Allison.
You can have him.
Yeah, Geronimo Allison. I'm sorry. I thought his last name was Wilson. But I would rather have him.
Seattle.
But I would rather have them. I'd rather have Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis than Lacoste and Ben Watson.
Yeah, but we've had this argument before. Seattle's skill position group is not much better, if even better, than the
better.
Patriots.
But it's better.
It's not. It might not be.
Why is it?
Because I would.
So you'd rather have Tyler Lockett than Julian Edelman?
No. I'd rather have Julian Edelman, but I'd rather have DK Metcalf.
Who's a rookie.
But I'd rather
have
him.
If he was here, probably wouldn't be doing anything.
But I would rather have him than.
I complain about the drafting.
Though. Anybody else that you. Well, the draft, I don't know what N'Keal Harry is. I thought it was a good pick.
No.
I thought it was a good pick, but he missed the whole first half of the season.
Do you think Brady will ever throw the ball to him again?
No. No.
And that was part of my reasoning, and I don't need to take a victory lap because that's not in the spirit of things.
I don't think you can really take a victory lap for N'Keal Harry because he missed the first basically 8 weeks of the season.
Went into my and I'm not saying he's done for his career. I'm just saying for this season you can't rely on him to duplicate even half of what Josh Gordon did because part of it was he missed all those games. Part of it was it's going to be hard to gain Brady's trust. Part of it is if Brady throws a pick his way or he has a drop then he might not look his way again.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things kind of factored in to why I thought he would not be successful.
See, I think
it's
you have
three
to
games.
I think you have to compare if you're going to listen. like I said, he's played in three games. And he's got four games before his redshirt year is up. You put N'Keal Harry to the side. Put him in the closet.
I know, but they kind of have to use him.
But listen, listen to what I'm saying.
Like you got a bunch of other options.
Hear what I'm saying. The real rookie receiver is Jakobi Meyers because he's been here since day one. So if you're comparing rookie receivers, you would say, would you rather have Jakobi Meyers or DK Metcalf? And I would much rather have DK Metcalf.
All right, but DK Metcalf is their number two. We're talking about Meyers being the number four here.
But Meyers is the number two, is basically your...
So are you writing off Sanu?
Sanu, yeah. Listen,
think about this.
I would much rather have Emmanuel Sanders now.
At the receiver position.
Yeah.
You've expended a first-round pick, N'Keal Harry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Next year's second-round pick, Mohamed Sanu.
That's looking great.
A $9 million bonus to Antonio Brown, which you're going to end up having to pay.
Right.
You have expended a lot of assets into the receiver position and gotten not much to show for it.
You know who I would take right now is there's a guy in Seattle, Josh Gordon. He plays for them now. You
yeah,
see him
let's pump. He played...
Yeah,
he's played in how many games since he's been there? What?
A couple. He's looked great.
Two games he's played in. He looked great. Good. He made one or two catches. Now, granted, if he was here, he would do what he did here when he was in Seattle, make one or two catches on the slant route, which he did in Seattle.
You know who can't run a slant route, turns out?
N'Keal Harry.
Not so much. Patson Walpole, you're up first on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hey, Pat.
Good. Loving the conversation with Wiggy and Keith today. But listen. They got completely embarrassed last night. Dale, I didn't mean to leave you out there, but they,
I'm okay.
You know, they're just shouting over you is what they that tends to happen when Wiggy's on.
Yeah.
But you know, they got outplayed, outcoached. They got flat out embarrassed. The play, the extra point was ridiculous. Go for two or don't go for two. Mm-hmm. The next time you go, you have to go for two anyways. So what are you going to do then? What are you going to come out with a play and then not run it again because you're like, oh crap, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But put that game aside, okay? Put that game aside. This weekend is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It makes zero difference. You lose to Kansas City, you beat Kansas City, it doesn't matter. You're not getting the one seed because Buffalo's not beating Baltimore.
Yep.
Anyways. So it doesn't matter. This weekend, irrelevant. The only game left that matters is at home against Buffalo.
And
if
you know
you
what?
Can't beat Buffalo,
they've got a chance. No, they've got a.
You don't
they've got a good
a
chance of beating you.
That's what he's saying. Yeah.
All right.
No, Buffalo's tough, and I finally came to the realization that the best win the Patriots have this season is Buffalo, and it's not close. I did not give them credit for the longest time, and then watching the whole game on Thanksgiving, and they beat up on the Cowboys and the Eagles, both horrible. Somebody's gonna win that division. They're going to get stomped by the top wild card in the NFC. The Patriots' only signature win on the year is Buffalo.
And the Buffalo plays the Ravens next week.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
That'd be good. That'd be a good game.
I don't think they're going to beat the Ravens.
I don't think anybody's going to beat the Ravens ever again.
ever.
Not ever. They're just going to win out. They're going to win out until the league's over.
617-779-7937. Wiggy is in the house. It's a Patriots Monday. At some point today, we're scheduled to talk with James White and Daron Harmon. It was a wee hours of the morning return. So we're not sure exactly what time they'll show up, but we will talk to them as the day goes on. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dan and Keith, WEEI.
So a lot has been made out of the lip reading thing. And I'm looking at the video of the sideline talk. And, you know, somebody went through and read the lips and got it all, you know, straight and everything.
Yeah, he was fired up.
He was fired up, and he's talking about we've got to be quicker, we've got to be more aggressive off the ball.
Be better. I can simplify it. Better than you are.
No. Just get the hell open. That's all open. I need you to do.
Get open. Get Please, open. Can somebody get open? They can't.
No.
They don't have a guy. Edelman's the only guy.
That's it.
Edelman's the only guy that can get open.
Right. And James White.
White's good, and James White runs those routes, and he can be very valuable, but it's even more valuable style when you have other guys that can push the ball down the field.
Right, because now you can create some of those opportunities for him. But if you don't have, besides Edelman.
I mean, they were just covered up.
God.
And the thing is.
Velcro City.
They were making.
And when did the Houston defense become that great?
Collinsworth was making him out to be like this, like world-beating defense. Like, this is the Legion of Boom. And you're like, no, they're not. The Texans, in fact, everybody was predicting a big passing game for Brady.
Right.
Because you looked at the secondary, and they're going on and on and on about these guys. Like, oh, my God, Jonathan Joseph's just shutting everybody down. Like, he's a 35-year-old corner.
But he'd also say in the same sentence, he'd go, but they just can't get open. Brady's got all day long.
They were just covered. They're like glue on him. But they were, 25th in the league, I think, in passing yards allowed, Texans were?
So when you go back to your blame pie, what's that tell you? You can't give Brady much. He's got nobody, man.
I agree that he doesn't have anybody in the offensive line, but you don't want to give him hardly any.
All right, you give him 20% of the blame. I mean, it's not more than that. I mean, it's between, 10 and 20%.
Well, at least you're
bumping
you
up
1%.
A little bit.
Yeah, but that was a little bit.
He is the one
bit,
making the throws.
That was
all.
A little bit in, kind of, sarcasm. When you look at this, think about this offense, man. Think about how.
Passing yards per game, Houston is at the bottom. And they were talking about him like, look at these corners, the safeties. These guys are just unbelievable. And you're like, no, they're not. They're not.
If who wrote that article? Was it Mike Lombardi about them having the worst weapons in the league?
I don't know if he wrote the article, but when Peter King has joined us, he thinks that the Patriots have the worst weapons in the league, which I don't believe.
I would say where we are, week 12, week 13?
It is week 13.
I would have to agree with him now. In the beginning of the year, I would have fought a little bit, but.
So they're worse than like the Dolphins? Like, come on.
No. Did you see Parker? Did you see the
first time? Stop, man. Kyle had a good game the first time in his life.
The last time, besides Edelman, that somebody's had a good game for the Patriots?
Antonio Brown, week 2, had a touchdown.
Okay. Now, I cannot argue with you and I.
Wasn't that a good game?
That was a tremendous game.
Jim's in North Attleboro. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, if there was one positive takeaway from the game last night, it was good to see James White come out of the witness protection program.
Yes.
You know, I don't understand it. Even the national broadcasters the last few weeks, Troy Aikman, and then last night Michaels and Collinsworth, were articulating as to where this guy has been all year. And it was telling that NBC put up a graphic just before the end of the first half, going back to 2015, how productive James White has been. He's been the top receiving running back. And the guy can run as well. You know, to me, after last night, he has to be the featured running back. He really does. You know, put him in the red zone. I don't want to see Sony Michel. I don't want to see Rex Burkhead. Use the guy in the red zone. Let him run the ball. Let him catch the ball. And as far as that caller who said that the game Sunday with Kansas City is meaningless, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Hello?
We're still rolling.
Here's the point.
Yeah.
The only chance the Patriots have of advancing is they got to hope that Kansas City slips to the fourth seed. And you got to remember, Houston beat Kansas City. Right now, Kansas City and Houston are tied at 8-4. and they basically have similar schedules the rest of the way. You want the Patriots to beat Kansas City, hope Houston wins out, or even hope that Houston and Kansas City tie, and that way...
I got you. So you're saying, so you want Kansas City to play Baltimore in the divisional round.
Exactly.
I got it. I got you.
The game Sunday is really, it's hardly meaningless.
Would you rather face Houston or Kansas City in the playoffs? Because I think before last night, Houston. The answer was 100% you'd rather face Houston.
Still Houston.
Even after last night?
Yeah, okay. Still Houston.
Yeah, me too.
Still Houston. And I'd much like to call it set. I would rather see Kansas City.
Which defense would you rather face?
Kansas City's.
Yeah.
But
their offense is even better. And I know Watson looked good last night, but their offense.
To me, it's
anymore.
Not. To me, it's not a. It, at the end of the day, I kind of look at it and I go, it's really not about the offenses that you're. It's more about the offenses that your defense could be facing. So I'd rather face Houston than a Kansas City offense that can put up a ton of points when you know you struggle.
I know they scored 28 last night, but I think you're going to have to score more against Kansas City than you would against Houston.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, James White and Daron Harmon. It is a Patriots Monday. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.